Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Can you fire off that song one more time for Rob Pizzola, or did you already put it away? I don't know if you... Yeah, Jack. The guy's been gone too long.
I'm telling you. Come on, Rob.
3 o'clock hour on Hockman and Crowder is sponsored by Kubota. The Kubota BX80 series is ready to get any job done right. Dig, mow, and haul. There's almost nothing it can't help you do. Find a Kubota dealer near you at gokubota.com. Rob Pizzola is a professional sports gambler. Lives in the great nation of Canada. He does not pay us to come on. We don't pay him to come on. He's got nothing to sell you. You can follow him on Twitter at Rob Pizzola, and he is with us right now. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Mark.
How are things in Canada?
That's okay. It's a little bit rainy today, which is going to suck for the kids that are trick-or-treating tonight. But aside from that, everything's pretty good.
They've got Halloween up there in Canada?
They do, actually, though. I should say, I read a story that in Montreal, they canceled Halloween tonight because the weather is supposed to be so bad. So they do have Halloween, but it's not being celebrated everywhere in Canada tonight because of some pretty poor weather here on the East Coast.
Interesting. All right. I did not know that. Out of curiosity, did you place, I know you place futures before the start of every season, hockey, basketball, whatever. Did you place any futures on the Nationals to win the World Series?
I did not. Unfortunately, nothing on the Nationals. I do like to play some futures before the season. I do also add during the season if I see an opportunity, but I didn't get anything with the Nationals this year. I'd say my biggest position was probably on the Rays, because early in the year there was just not many people that were believing in the Rays, and I thought they were a playoff team and got a pretty good number there. But unfortunately, nope, nothing on Washington, although I was rooting for them last night, just because they're the former Montreal Expos. So they're kind of like a Canadian team, and I'm kind of happy that they pulled it off.
Your phone is kind of getting shallow and then not. Whatever you're doing right now, stay there. Where's your right leg?
Okay, I'm good now, I think.
Yeah, keep it right there. Miami Heat are a 6.5-point favorite tonight in Atlanta. They beat the Hawks by double digits on Tuesday. Trae Young is out for Atlanta, but again, the game is in Atlanta. You like the Heat game tonight?
I don't. I mean, full disclosure for anyone who's listening, I've mentioned this last year as well, I don't bet as much on the NBA as I do on other sports. So we will talk NBA throughout the course of this season. I'm not as confident in the selections. This is not a game that I'm going to bet tonight, probably. Trae Young, like you mentioned, is out. That's going to hurt Atlanta quite a bit. That's a pretty bad roster on paper. But I see Justice Winslow now is questionable. He's got back spasms or something like that. I don't like to bet these games where it's going to come down to the wire. We're going to have to see if a guy plays and if he's on the court shooting around in a warm-up or anything like that. If these teams were healthy, I'd make Miami a 7.5-point favorite in the game. So it's Miami or nothing for me, but I am not betting it tonight.
Okay, fair enough. What about, it's a big week for us down here. Canes FSU week is always one of our favorites. FSU, they opened, it was like 5.5 or even 6 points somewhere favorite. FSU is down to a 3-point favorite over the Miami Hurricanes. It's in Tallahassee Saturday. Do you like that game?
I do. Now, that 5.5-point opener, that lasted for about 10 seconds before it got bet down to 4.5, and it's just continued to drop over the course of the week. And I think people are going to look at this game, and really any time FSU is a favorite, I do the same thing. It's very difficult to trust the Seminoles when they're laying points. I get that. But they've actually covered their last three games as favorites now. But I look at this game overall, I'm very concerned about Miami's run defense lately. It's almost 400 yards allowed on the ground over the last 2 weeks. I'm not confident that they're going to be able to contain Cam Akers this week. And their offense is really bad. It's an abomination right now. Basically, this comes down to, can Miami's defense force enough turnovers in FSU territory to get their offense some points? Because they're just not capable of making too many 70, 80-yard drives. So I don't see that happening. I think this is a short price on FSU this week. I'm going to lay the 3 points at the Seminoles.
Do you think it might go even lower? Would you wait?
I wouldn't at this point. Normally, you don't see the college football market move as much as it has over the course of the week. 3 to me is a prime opportunity to get in. If it does get down to 2.5, I'd probably add an even larger stake on it. But I think at 3, it's definitely worth the play.
Okay, what about, it's another big week for us. It's the Dolphins-Adam Gase week. Adam Gase and his ass eyes are in town. Jets are 3-point favorites. The one-win Jets, who have looked just ridiculously horrible, except for that one game against Dallas, the Jets are 3-point favorites over the Finns in Miami.
We haven't got to chat in a couple weeks, Mark, but if I was on the show last week and I was looking to bet this game, the Jets would have been about a 6.5-point favorite, maybe even 7 points. It's now 3 points. So you have to ask yourself, has enough happened over the course of the last week to justify a 3.5 to 4-point shift in the point spread in this game? And I'm going to say no. I mean, I'm well aware that the Jets stink. I have no idea how they beat the Cowboys, which is their only win this season. Sam Darnold is seeing ghosts against New England. He didn't play well against the Jags last week. I don't think he's going to see ghosts against this Miami defense, especially not with Xavier Howard now out for the season as well. Miami has a -161 point differential this year. They've been outscored by an average of 23 points per game. And now all we have to do is lay 3 points against them. I'm pretty much going to take any NFL team in the league in this spot. But you add in the fact that this is pretty much Adam Gase's Super Bowl, I am betting the Jets -3 this week.
It really is. It is Adam Gase's Super Bowl. Can I tell you what we did on the Dolphins-Steelers game Monday night? I'm embarrassed to even
tell this.
I am embarrassed to tell this story because he is a professional sports gambler, and we are absolute clowns when it comes to this. So I'm so embarrassed by this. Maybe you'll tell me no was the right move. I have a feeling.
He's not.
I have a feeling that it's not. We had
not funny.
We had the Steelers -14. We had put that bet in, Steelers -14. So then Dolphins come out, they put 14 points real quick on the board. They're up 14-0, and we make a real panicked live in-game bet, Dolphins to win outright at +115. And then, of course, the Steelers go on to score 27 unanswered points. They don't cover, and, of course, the Dolphins don't win. Is that one of the worst gambling moves you've ever heard?
Yeah, that's the opposite of the middle that
that's
you're
usually what I said.
For, right?
Right. It's like, there's no term for it because it is so rare to do this.
Yeah, there's just so many outcomes where you lose in that situation, which is exactly what happened to you, right? Anything where Pittsburgh wins between 0 and 14 at that point, you're going to lose both bets. So typically you don't want to do that, right? I mean, if you lay the 14 points with a favorite, what you'll often do is hope that that favorite comes out in front, and then you'll bet the underdog at an inflated price, like Miami +24 or something like that, and look to get some sort of 10-point middle. So yeah, I would not advise doing what you did. Usually it's just best to swallow that original loss and move on instead of losing the double units, right?
And Rob, whoever's idea it was, should they make any more gambling advice for us? Should they tell us anything the rest
He's
of the
talking
season?
To you, Dr. Chuck. That was not my idea. I sent my gambling consortium a text that night just to say, hey, take some solace in the fact that we were part of history tonight as maybe the worst play in the history of sports wagering.
I mean, you should have probably covered the original Steelers bet.
I know.
I know they fell out, but there was a lot of chances in that second half. All the turnovers that happened. Yeah, I mean, they played a bad half of football, and they still ended up winning the game by 13 points. That's all you need to know about the Miami Dolphins this year, right?
Yeah, that was a bad look on our part. Rob Pizzola is a professional sports gambler. Let me go over a couple of the college games that have local interest. FIU is a 17-point favorite over Old Dominion.
17.5 now. I'm going to make this one really simple. I bet Old Dominion 17.5 this morning. Why did I do that? I have no idea. It's just a numbers thing for me. I mean, I make FIU 14.5 points favorite in the game. So it's about a 2% edge from a mathematical side of things. But I could sell everyone pretty much any week on any side in the college football board. I cannot sell you on Old Dominion. Their offense is miserable. They've scored 37 points in the last month. They're dead last in the country in total offense. I don't know how they're going to score points. I don't know how they're going to cover, but I bet them anyways at +17.5. It is one of the what I call the hold-your-nose specials. I like ODU this week, but I'm certainly not going to be following the game in real time to be updating the score.
We appreciate your honesty. UCF is a 21.5-point favorite hosting Houston.
Houston's been surviving with all these defensive injuries that they have. I don't know how, but they've been a tough opponent recently for pretty much everyone they faced. At some point, I'd like to fade them, but the problem is every time you go up against UCF, UCF attracts money every single week. It's really hard to fade a team going up against them because the lines are inflated. Everyone wants to bet on UCF. They outgain opponents by like over 200 yards per game, which is pretty absurd. I can't lay this price. It's a game I'm going to be on the sidelines. At some point, I will fade Houston, but this isn't the spot for me.
Okay. Crowder's Florida Gators. It's the old cocktail, whatever. Georgia
is world's biggest cocktail party. Get it right, son.
It's the DrinkWorks cocktail machine. Georgia is a 6-point favorite over UF Saturday.
I have not seen a sharp account this week that hasn't placed a bet on Georgia in this game in some capacity. The opener was 3.5. It got bet up to 4. Now even at sharp books, you'll see 6.5 right now. I'm going to be on the other side. I'm in disagreement. I think the Gators have been good to me this season. I'm going back to the well once more, even if this is quote-unquote the square play this week. I just don't see enough separating these two teams to make Georgia a 6 or 6.5-point defense right now, favorite right now. These defenses are great. Both offenses can move the ball, but I'm more concerned about Georgia's offense right now. 21 points, 17 points the last 2 weeks against South Carolina and Kentucky, who have decent defenses, but nowhere near the level of Florida. You know, Jake Fromm was great when he had guys like Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel in the backfield helping him out, but they lack talent at skill positions this season. This isn't the same Georgia offense as it's been in the past. I think the number is too big. I like the Gators plus 6.5, and I think they're going to win the game outright. Just subjectively, gut feeling, but I really do like Florida this week.
How about FAU? They're getting 1.5 at Western Kentucky.
Not a game that I have much of an opinion on. Both teams that seem to have a favorable matchup working for them. Western Kentucky lost to Marshall last week. What Marshall did is they ran a lot of two tight end sets in that game. FAU does the same. They run a lot of two tight end sets. So that's potentially going to expose this Western Kentucky defense. The problem for me is that FAU's secondary is awful, one of the worst in the nation. Western Kentucky has two pretty good receivers there. It's a tough game. I'm going to pass on it.
All right. Rob Pizzola, he is a professional sports gambler. He doesn't pay us to come on. We don't pay him to come on. You can follow him on Twitter, at Rob Pizzola, if you like. Give us 3 random bets, your choice.
Okay, college football Saturday at noon. We have Nebraska and Purdue. Purdue lost at home last week to Illinois. It wasn't close either. They lost 24-6. Jack Plummer, Purdue's quarterback, he was awful in that game. But if you're looking at box score, you're not going to get the sense of what really happened in that game because the weather was miserable, and it played a huge factor in the outcome of that game. Before that loss, this Purdue offense was on fire in the passing game. They're going to get back on track this week because Nebraska's secondary is terrible. They've gotten shredded by every good quarterback they face this year. I mean, they've gotten shredded by even average quarterbacks this year. So I think Purdue's going to score a lot of points. I don't think Nebraska keeps up because their red zone offense is so bad. That's the difference between these two teams. Purdue, very good in the red zone. Nebraska, not so good in the red zone. Purdue is the underdog, getting 3 points at home. I like that quite a bit. I think they win the game outright.
All right. What else you got?
Sunday NFL. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 2-5 this season. The Seattle Seahawks are 6-2. I really don't think there's much separating these two teams, despite the record. Now, let me make it abundantly clear that Seattle wins games because of Russell Wilson. They would be picking in the top 5 of the NFL draft if they didn't have Russell Wilson. And Wilson is going to do what he does. He's an MVP candidate for a reason. He's going to put up some points. But it's going to be a larger struggle for him this week because the Seahawks lost their starting center last week. Justin Britt is out for the season. They already had a terrible offensive line. It now gets even worse. But to make matters even worse is that the Bucs have one of the best defensive lines in the NFL. They have Damacong Su, Vita Vea there, Shaq Barrett. That is a huge matchup edge for the Tampa Bay Bucs this week. And if you dig deeper into the Seahawks this year, especially their home games, they're perceived to have this huge home field advantage. Well, they barely beat the Bengals at home in week 1. They got badly outplayed in that game. They lost to Teddy Bridgewater in a blowout. They beat the Rams on Thursday Night Football, but that was because the Rams missed a field goal as time expired there. They really should have lost that game. And then they lost to the Ravens by 2 touchdowns a couple weeks ago. So I think Seattle's way more mediocre than people realize. They are spotting 6 points right now. I think that number is way too big. I like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers getting 6 points.
Wow, I don't think I could pull the trigger on that one. What's your third one, Rob?
Monday Night Football, Cowboys-Giants. The total is 48. I like the over in this game. The Cowboys demolished the Giants in week one. It was 35-17. Dak Prescott threw for 400 yards, 4 touchdowns. Everyone was surprised that Dak, you know, put up this huge offense. It's because the Giants' defense stinks. And they haven't stopped anyone this season except for one game against Washington where Washington was starting Dwayne Haskins in that game. If we look at offensive success rates in the NFL, adjusted for the schedule that the teams have played, the Cowboys are number one in the league. They have a successful offensive play on 52% of their plays. They're the only team in the NFL over 50%. They're going to move the ball. They're going to score points. And on the other side of things, the Giants' offense is so much better with Daniel Jones as opposed to Eli Manning. He's taking some shots downfield last week. He's got Golden Tate back in the lineup. He's not like Eli where he's going to throw the ball 100 times into the ground per game just to avoid a sack. So I don't know where the defensive stops come by in this game. I like the over 48.
There you go. Rob Pizzola, professional sports gambler, doesn't have a play on tonight's Heat game. On Saturday, he likes FSU laying the points against the Hurricanes. He likes the Jets laying the points against the Dolphins on Sunday. He likes Old Dominion plus the points against FIU on Saturday. He likes the Florida Gators plus the points on Saturday against Georgia. And then he likes Purdue plus the points against Nebraska. The Buccaneers plus the points against the Seahawks, and he likes the Cowboys-Giants over on Monday Night Football. As always, thank you, Rob.
All right, thanks, guys. Enjoy the games this week.
What kind of candy are you giving out at the Pizzola household tonight?
Well, that's an interesting question. I always have two buckets of candy. This is a true story. I'm not making this up. I have the really good candy and then the candy that I don't even want to eat. And, like, the teenagers that come around that are way too old for Halloween, they get the garbage candy. And if I don't like your costume, you get garbage candy as well. So
wow.
Come up to my house with a good costume. Like, the people who dress as, like, a soccer player or they put on, like, their soccer shorts and their jersey, like, see you later, you're getting, like, a lollipop.
Right, that's
right?
Not a costume. But I'm with you. That's not a costume.
That's lame. But the good kids, I mean, the kids that they put effort into it, they dress up, they're the appropriate age, they're going to get the good, like the real chocolate bars, the Reese's Pieces and the Mars and the Snickers. They get rewarded for putting the effort.
That is so great. And do you taunt the lamos with the good candy?
No, I don't. But I remember, I mean, I'm in a small neighborhood. I remember the kids year to year. Some kids are like, they give the snarky remark depending on the candy that they get. I'm going to see them come around this year, and you're going to see what they get. They're going to get, like, one little lollipop or something like that. So I don't forget. I'm kind of like Larry David in Curb Your Enthusiasm in that Halloween episode or whatever. But I treat Halloween very seriously, and the kids that put effort in, they get rewarded. The rest, they're getting some garbage candy.
And, Rob, do you warn them when they're getting a little old, around 11, do you say, hey, Deborah, next year, no more candy?
No, show up here.
Old.
Yeah.
I don't warn them, but, like, they can tell by my body language, right? I mean, they can tell that some of these kids are like, some of these kids, they don't even put, like, it really bothers me. It does. The older teenager kids in the soccer outfit who show up with, like, a garbage bag, I mean, get out of here, please.
Yeah. See, I think that's my kid because my kid's 15. And so tonight when everybody's done trick-or-treating, I'm sure he'll look up with a friend in the neighborhood and they'll start walking around and they're just waiting for every household to dump all their candy out because they want to get it out of the house. And, you know, my kid will be dressed like, you know, he'll put a napkin on his head. I'm napkin head.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like there's no effort put into it. I don't mind necessarily bring back that candy.
Oh, goodness.
Bring back that. He's actually, he's my emissary at that point. If he doesn't want to go out tonight, I'm sending him out.
Right. I mean, in your position, I get it because you want to reap the rewards of his work. And I would do the same if I was in your shoes. But, I mean, it's shameful, really. You know, 15-year-old trick-or-treating. It's time to grow up. You got to give him a life lesson, Mark.
Mm-hmm. Well, I give him
parenting.
I give him a life lesson. When he comes home, I take 30% of the candy. That's my life lesson on taxation.
Right. Perfect. There you go. You learned something. You should take even more, to be honest with you. Taxes are going to go up over time. You got to pay the debt and things like that. So take 50 if you need to.
Yeah, fair enough. Here come all the texts. That's what you socialists want, right, Hockman? That's what you want. Why don't you make them give all your candy and share it? There you go. I saved you all. I saved all you wackos your texts to me. I saved all you wackos your texts.
They're coming.
They're coming. Rob Bisola. Thanks, Rob.
All right, thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.